The other day, I was hanging out with some friends who do variations of what I do professionally. Basically, we all work online in some capacity. This friend, who I will refer to in a gender-neutral way to protect their privacy, was talking about how COVID had affected their business. They'd been in business working online for years, but they'd been 100% positioned in one area of focus: credit cards and the content created to it. The weird thing about this is we'd met up for lunch the first week of March, and I'd expressed some concern that they were so heavily positioned in this one space. And I thought that they weren't doing some of the things that they could do to balance out their overall business income. Within 2 weeks of that conversation, COVID was shut down basically the entire United States and the rest of the world. And by the end of April, my friend, who had been making a significant amount of money, quite honestly, more than I had, was out of work and basically had to find a job. The reason why I'm recording this episode is to share why freelancers and other entrepreneurs must diversify their income and 7 steps you can take right now to grow and attract new revenue into your business. In order to go to the show notes, go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/why freelancers must diversify. Again, that's michelleismoneyhungry.com/why freelancers must diversify. Don't forget to grab this resource, How to Grow Your Business from Day One. This is a quick guide sharing some of the steps that I took to grow my business when I didn't have a lot of money to reinvest, and I wanted to make the most bang for my buck when I did spend. Why you must diversify your income as a freelancer or online entrepreneur. As I mentioned in the opening remarks, your industry can dry up overnight. While I'm in the personal finance space, I never honestly wrote content about credit cards or travel for other businesses. The reason why was because I was paying off all that credit card debt, so it just didn't make sense. It didn't align with my brand to write about credit cards. But for people in the travel, hospitality, restaurants, credit card, and education spaces in particular, none of them could have ever imagined their industries, plural, coming to a grinding halt for well over a year. Because honestly, all of these industries are going to really be slow for quite some time. And because of that, because of what's going on right now, these companies have stopped affiliate programs, contracting external writers, and even lending standards for credit cards have changed, and people are having to go through more rigorous lending vetting. So banks, maybe they would have been a little more flexible with their lending standards, and now they're like, no, we're going to look at you a little more closely. However, this isn't the first time these things have happened. In fact, during 9/11, which it's many years ago, but I remember how 9/11 killed education and tourism. This is not the first time. And also swine flu in particular, all the students from Asia, in particular South Korea, stopped coming for years to the United States. So we have evidence from within the last 20 years, honestly, that there are black swan events that will affect industries and could potentially shut those industries down for at least a minimum of a year. So reason number one why you need to diversify your income is your industry can dry up overnight, and there's more than one example in the last 20 years of that happening. Reason number two, just like your stock portfolio, it's important to create balance in your business revenue. One of the most fascinating things to watch during these crazy times is how so many businesses have pivoted and created new income streams based on what's going on now. For businesses that are able to survive this wild moment in history, they will be actually much better positioned as a business moving forward. So as a digitally based business, you should ask yourself, am I doing everything that I can to help people work with me and use my services? That's a question you need to ask yourself. And if you feel like no, then you need to begin going through the process of adding those products where they make sense. Reason number three, highlight your different skill sets that you currently may be underutilizing. In fact, part of the reason why I got fed up with my old 9-to-5 job was that I wanted to grow certain work skills that they wouldn't let me use in the role that I was working in. I wanted to really focus on marketing. I wanted to go abroad and market the program that I'd been working for overseas. I worked with international students at an international English center. And so part of how we attracted students attending events overseas that marketed those types of programs. But I was roadblocked on that for two reasons. Typically, you would only send one person to do a program like that. And it was quite expensive to do. And so my going on that marketing trip would mean that my boss would not be going on that marketing trip overseas. And so my bosses, I had two in particular who were like, we won't let you do this because we don't want you to represent our program overseas. In reality, it wasn't even that they didn't want me to represent the program. It was that for me to have that opportunity meant that they couldn't do it. And so I got tired of it. I got tired of other people getting in the way of growing my own skills. And so I started looking for ways to do that outside of work. And so that was part of the reason why I became a leader for FinCon. That's why I started taking leadership roles outside of work. That's why I started my blog, actually, to connect with others. I was just being roadblocked on at my job. So as a freelancer or an entrepreneur growing your business, think about the skills that you really wanted to grow in your old job that you couldn't, that you could now. And so really, you need to highlight your different skill sets. There's no limit to what you can do when you're your own boss. Reason number four, which is similar to reason number two, but a little different. Diversify your income streams to take pressure off of your main income stream. For example, I've currently built out 9 income streams with a focus on passive income. The great thing about this is that I've built up predictable income into my business, and it's really eliminated pressure that I used to experience before I began focusing on building that passive income and building out different ways to make money. So when I first started working for myself, as a self-employed person, basically, I really focused on doing virtual assistant work. I was doing freelance writing. I had side hustles. Like, I was doing all these things. And the problem that I started to notice for years, to be honest, was that there was a lot of pressure to make money the way that I made money most. So in the earlier years, it was a lot of pressure to keep my side hustle, actually. I actually loved my side hustle that I did because I worked with a team of brand ambassadors handing out products. Very fun, super chill, a great way to supplement my business income. But what happened over time was that I really began to rely on that income. And that was problematic because that meant that I wasn't growing my business income because I relied so heavily on that. Then as time went on, I started freelancing and it shifted a little bit where I was really relying on freelance writing work. But it wasn't a passion of mine. I didn't love freelance writing as much as I do now, actually. And the reason why was I was having to take all the income that I was earning and paying off debt. So I actually recorded an episode that released right before this one talking about how debt affects your business growth. Definitely listen to that episode to understand how this was problematic with my business. So I had these different income streams, but I wasn't really focusing on balancing it out passively. And by making that a real area of focus, that just changed everything. So once I started making money with eBooks, once I started making money with my courses, once I started making coaching money, and it grew to the point where it was consistently always more than what I needed, that changed everything. So diversifying your income streams to take pressure off your main income stream is so important. So if you're positioned as a freelance writer, like my friend was, and that industry dries up completely, the question you need to ask yourself is, how will I make money if that occurs? How will you make money? And so you need to figure out what that answer is and start building up that revenue stream so that it takes pressure off of you and also allows you to say no to things. So that's reason number five, you need to diversify your income. You need to be able to say no to projects that don't serve you well. In fact, one of the worst things that I dealt with in the beginning of being self-employed and transitioning into entrepreneurship was honestly having to say yes to everything, including projects that didn't serve me well. I'm going to give you an example of that. I think I've shared this before in the show, how when I first quit my job, I went overseas to Australia and Hawaii. I needed a break. I was exhausted. I was worn out, and I took 2 months off overseas, even though Hawaii is America. For those of you who are like, I'm not clear on the Hawaii part, it's America, okay, America. But I went from here to Hawaii to Australia. Anywho, on the way back, I was like, oh crap, my money is running low because Australia is mad expensive, which is saying something because Colorado is expensive. Anywho, and I was looking for projects. And so I signed on to do a project editing a digital book. Now, I'm going to say that this person who said yes to the fee is an idiot because they got bad service from me towards the end because I way undersold what my service was worth. So I basically said yes to editing an ebook that I thought would be like a short ebook. I don't know why I didn't fully vet it out. And it ended up being this very technical editing situation. And I said yes to this freaking project. I almost want to say a different word, for $100. I'll never forget this because these are the things you need to have happen in business so that you understand what your worth is. And I so undersold myself. That was a $3,000 or $4,000 project, actually, looking back at it. And this person who said yes to my $100 editing fee was an idiot because that ended up being a horrible project for me. And I did an okay job, but it took me forever. And by the time I was done, I was so resentful of the project. I was also earning like a penny a page or like a penny an hour. Like, it was insane. So if I had at that point the kind of revenues, income streams that I do now, I never would have even looked. I would have never have said yes to a project like that. But I had two things going against me. One, I was just in debt. No, three. I was in debt. I was desperate. And I really didn't have other ways to make money. Like, I didn't have this clear set of income streams coming in because I was new to being in business for myself. Everything worked out. And weirdly enough, that second month of being back home after being gone, I made $6,000. And that was even more than what I was making at my old job. In fact, it was significantly more. But I was making money doing stuff I didn't enjoy. So it actually ended up killing my business in the long run for a while because I was like, I don't enjoy any of this. And so what I would say is you want to diversify your income because you want to say no to the things that you don't enjoy and say yes to the things that you do. And you want to really focus on growing those over time. You want to be able to identify what those things are, what those projects are that you enjoy, that make money and are of service to other people so that you can grow them over time. So reason number six why you should diversify your income is it changes your mindset. This was very interesting to me as I went deeper into monetizing my projects and the way that I envisioned doing it. I'll be candid and say that diversifying my income from the beginning of 2018 until now has been a really humbling and somewhat unnerving process. I had to fight imposter syndrome. underpricing, feeling awkward about sales, and improving my products over time. But with each small win and each failure, my confidence grew and my mindset really changed about what I was offering to other people. Mindset is so huge as an entrepreneur, and I don't think people talk about it enough in the scope of how it affects all the things I just mentioned. And so as I diversified my revenue, I just got ballsier. I just was like, yeah, I am worth this and some, okay? Because it became really clear to me what I was bringing to the table to other people, both as a person in service to others, but also to myself. And that was huge. That was huge. I had a lot of doubts. And so as I went through this process, the doubts just went away. It doesn't mean that I still don't have those moments where I'm like, oh, this is crazy, but it really did change how I felt about myself. Reason number seven why you need to diversify your revenue is you need to rethink how you actually view your digitally based business. It actually kind of makes me crazy when people are like, I'm a freelancer and that's my business. I'm like, you are more than just a freelancer. You offer so much, right? And people rely on you to provide the service. For the past 5 years, I've known a ton of freelancers. And honestly, I've noticed that the ones who grow their income and sustain their businesses over time view their businesses in a really specific way. They aren't just providing a service to other organizations or people. They are actually very intentional about the following: growing their income, focusing on measuring metrics each month. What isn't measured doesn't grow. Letting go of clients that don't serve them well very quickly. They let it go. They're like, bye-bye, go away, you're gone. Using projects to grow their personal brand and understanding that they are a personal brand, which is kind of huge. So wrapping that part of the show up, I want to share seven ways that you can begin the process of diversifying your income starting today. So step number one is remember that your skills are transferable. If you know how to pitch for one type of project, it's likely you can use that same skill set in another area of interest that you would like to work in. And here are some transferable skills that you have that you've developed, hopefully, over time that you can use in other industries: pitching, marketing, sales, copywriting, coaching, freelance writing, podcast editing, video editing, blog writing are just a few that I could name that you could use in a very different way and leverage in a different way to grow your business and brand. Step number two is cultivate another area of expertise. Once you're an expert in one space and are getting consistent results in that space, you can focus on becoming an expert in another area of interest. I have a friend who is a freelancer extraordinaire, and they systematically became experts in four very different areas of interest. So they were first writing in personal finance, then they started writing in travel, then they started writing in the education space. The fourth space, I always forget what the fourth one is, but I feel like it was business focused content. And they make crazy money because they systematically use their skills and applied them to other areas of interest. Like, they're not just writing in personal finance, because there are lots of projects, but there are lots of people looking for those projects. So this person now has more than one area where they contribute their expertise. They also run a website, quite frankly, and make money with their website in various ways. So they alleviated the pressure of making freelance money by making money with their website too. So that is something to be aware of. Step number three, always consider how the projects you're working on can grow your personal brand and attract money to it. I actually spoke about this with my friend, Maddie Osman, the blocksmith, in an episode a couple months ago about how she does this for her brand. I'll include a link in the show notes to that as well. But your projects should always grow your brand. Whenever possible, you should be asking for bylines. If they're not giving you bylines, you need to be getting more money. And you should be able to see if you can share that ghostwritten project with future clients. Like, you need to negotiate these things quietly in the back end, and you need to understand what you're bringing to the table to these businesses. So really think about, as you're working on your projects that you're saying yes to, how does it grow my brand? So it's not a coincidence that I'm writing for some larger websites right now, because they give me visibility. Also, they're fun projects to work on. They're easy for me to do. They're not that stressful. I love the editor that I'm working with one of these companies. Actually, all the companies I work with now, I like all the editors. Before, I used to work with companies where I couldn't really say no, and I didn't enjoy any of that. And it drove me crazy. It really drove me crazy. I stopped freelance writing in particular for 8 months because I just couldn't stand it. And part of the reason why was I felt like I was underpaid, the projects weren't serving me well, and that the editors weren't respectful of me or my time. They could be nice and still not be respectful of me or my time. That has completely changed because I have other ways to make money. So if I get reached out to, because now people reach out to me and it's a project where I'm like, you know what, that's not going to work, I just say no. Like, it's the easiest no ever because I have money coming in. So now I'm very intentional about saying yes to things that grow my brand and make sense and are easy within the scope of what I'm trying to do. Step number 4, create a one and done product that you can sell while you're asleep and doesn't require you to do anything or very little of anything beyond the product sale. Here are some ideas of one and done products that you could consider. Ebooks, courses, guides, templates, pre-recorded webinars. Those are one and done, but there's also other products that are not one and done where you would have to focus on them in an ongoing way. So I have a membership program, a course, Make Money with Ebooks Academy. I have to kind of nurture that each week, but it's not a lot of work depending on who the students are. But I love my students, so it's fun to kind of work with them on their projects. So if you do something like that, you just have to make sure that your pricing matches the output of energy. So I changed what I was doing this year. I actually launched an academy, which is a subscription-based service where you also get access to the course. And during this beta launch this summer, I have just decided that I need to raise the price for it. Like, it's just a no-brainer. I had to raise the price just based on what I was observing in terms of questions that I was getting and that kind of thing. And it was great. So I have done that. I love this resource that I've created. I love this product. I love the students. And so as an entrepreneur, you're going to have to spend some time kind of figuring that out on the back end. And then you'll figure out that happy medium with pricing and the service that you provide. So yeah, like, I launched a thing. It was great. It sold. But then I was like, you know, I need to raise the price to kind of balance out some things that I'm noticing. And I'm happy as a clam. And it sells. It's awesome. So create a product and get it out there, because at the end of the day, you also have to optimize your time. And I think as a person who's an entrepreneur or a freelancer, we don't talk about optimizing your time enough within the scope of the products that you're creating and launching and putting out there in the world. You can only write so many posts before you get tired. And maybe you just want to have a break. So right now I'm in the process. At the time this episode is being released, almost the middle of August. And I'm already looking at, what do I need to do between now and March so that when it's quiet, because usually I find that January and February in particular, are months where it just, things just are quiet. So this year I'm approaching it very differently so that there's no issues. So I think about that. Step number 5. To diversifying your income, always be pitching. And that doesn't necessarily mean sitting down and doing actual pitches each day. I don't pitch every day in the traditional sense. However, pitches occur in a number of different ways. Here are just a few ways you can always be pitching your expertise and letting people know that you have things that they could purchase from you, whether it is a service, a product, what have you. Do traditional pitches. pitch to be a guest on other platforms such as vlogs, podcasts, via your paid projects, participate in panels in large Facebook groups, share your expertise there, add people to a resource that you've created. So say, for example, you've created a free guide. Grow your email list so that you can sell to people later. And that guide is helpful because it narrows down who you're targeting. That's a pitch. Getting people on your email list is a pitch. Build relationships with other people in your niche or niche and just help others. One of the most wonderful, amazing things that I've learned is the more I help other people, the more I get help. It's just a cosmic karma woo-woo thing. The more I help other people, the more I get help. And you do it without any expectation. You just help people to help people. And you always end up being helped. So just do that. Step number 6, create ways to highlight your expertise. I didn't just create my Money on the Mountain event to help the attendees. I also quite candidly created that to help myself professionally. When I mentioned that story at the beginning of the show where I wasn't allowed to market the program that I was in, I was like, I'm going to create something that I can market. So I did. And it helped people too, which was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. And I'm excited because I will be able to do that moving forward. My point is, you are in business and you have to figure out how to get people to your business. And you also need to figure out how you help people. And so creating ways to highlight your expertise, it's actually not as complicated as it feels. You could create events. You could be on panels, other people's panels, and conferences. There's tons of online conferences right now. Like I've been in at least 4 as a panelist this summer. So there's always online panels, online conferences, things like that. Since I've been to in-person events, I spoke at one as a speaker in July. I spoke at Camp 5 for people who are interested in financial independence, retire early. That wasn't just saying yes to say yes. It was because I thought it would be a great event to attend. It was. I have a review of that. I'll share it in the show notes. But 2, it was to highlight my expertise, my platform, and what I think on the topic of FIRE. So my point is, I'm very intentional about the things that I'm doing, and I'm very intentionally removing things now. Currently, I actually am on the community advisory board for FinCon. I'm going to do a whole episode about deciding to say yes to that, but let me be very clear. I was very intentional about that yes. And it took me a while to decide to say yes, okay? But there are other ways that you can highlight your expertise. You could write an ebook, right? You could take on leadership roles in your niche community. You could be on the board of something. Even though if you're in the nonprofit space, I would be careful with being on a board because board members have a fiduciary responsibility, which means you need to help raise money. So if you want to do that, okay, fine. But I'm talking about growing your business, not other people's. Or being really intentional about how you're positioned and sharing who you are with other people to grow your business. So just heads up. And step number 7, become known for something. Make it really easy for people to know what you do and who to share your expertise with. So my friend Sandy, she talks side hustles. She is a freaking queen when it comes to side hustles. She knows all the things. She is one of the people that I always refer people to, depending on who they are, because I understand exactly who Sandy serves to her platform. If I have friends looking to make money on eBay with eBay, I refer them to my friend Jason Butler, who is from My Money Chronicles, and he loves flipping items on eBay. This is not my expertise. I do not understand it. This is not where I'm at. So I send them to him. If I want to talk millennial money, or people want to talk millennial money in particular, in a really inclusive space, I actually send them to Cara Perez from Bravely Go. So I know exactly what people are doing. If people are wanting help with travel, writing or content or just want a website like that, I send them to Club Thrifty that my friend Holly Johnson and her husband run. I love that I was like, and her husband. It, you know, the point is you need to make it easy for people to understand what you do. So people know that I talk about personal finance and Colorado because I have two very different projects, but they kind of co-mingle occasionally. So people know if there's a Colorado question, ask Michelle Jackson. They know that. If they want to talk personal finance from a debt or slow fire or entrepreneurship, like people know based on how they've connected with me, then they know to refer people to me. So I'm hoping that this was helpful to you today to kind of wrap your head around how you could be diversifying your income now, even during a pandemic. I launched products during a pandemic and they sold. The thing is that there are hundreds of millions of people and there will always be people with or without money in this moment. It sucks. And I'll say that it sucks because I've been that person without the money. It sucks. So there's a reason why I have so much free content too, because I've been the person without the money. And so for that person, you also provide resources that they can use as they go through the process of attracting money back to them. So I know that people, I wasn't planning on really bringing this up, but I know that people sometimes feel weird. I feel badly to charge money for a thing, but you have to also remember that you have to take care of yourself as well. And people are grown freaking adults. They have the opportunity and the power to say no when they cannot afford a thing. And that's something to also remember. You can have something out there and people can say no. Period. People can say no. So please remember that. They can also say yes. So if you don't have something out there for them to say yes to, you're blocking your coins, you're blocking transformations for other people, you're blocking the flow, right? So I built out my business and it took longer than I thought, which is fine. That was the journey that I went on, but I built it out in such a way that people could meet me where they are at. If they needed free stuff, I got free stuff for you. If they wanted to read a, you know, $2.99 book, I got a $2.99 book. If they wanted to take a course, I got the course. If they wanted a subscription-based model, that the academy is there. They can do there. If they wanted coaching with me, I literally, for the longest time, up until recently, was like, pay what you felt this was worth. Because I had so much coaching starting to happen, I now am launching the Brand Building Lab where I work with my clients, my students in a more intentional way. So I'm very excited to have the Brand Building Lab go live at the end of this month. So if you're interested in the Brand Building Lab, I will also be recording an episode sharing more of what that is, what's going to happen in there. Reach out to me via social media or email at michelleismoneyhungry@gmail.com. The Brand Building Lab, very quickly though, will be specifically for people who are already in the online space. At least have a website and are thinking about starting some other thing like a podcast or a vlog or just looking to expand their brand, add products to it, and just need help with that process and what to consider, what to think. I hope you're having a great day. Please take care. Stay cool. It is way too hot in Colorado. I can't take it anymore. It's too hot. I'm looking forward to fall. So anyway, have a beautiful and blessed day. Take care.